Fellas, Labatt Blue USA. Lots of things are better together. Hockey and Labatt Blue. Golf and Labatt Blue. Barbecuing with an ice-cold Labatt Blue. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Up, dog, fella. Look good, feel good, play good. We got some new Adidas golf swag coming the fella's way.
I don't know if any new golf swag would help your game, but I love it. Adidas is excited to introduce new offerings within the go-to apparel collection that allows you to bring your style to the golf course. Not the traditional golf uniform. Go-to brings a fresh attitude to the game wherever you play. You'll look good on and off the course while enjoying all the technical benefits that let you play your best.
Featuring streetwear-inspired style, the go-to collection rewrites all the rules and encourages you to express your style through every swing. Explore the new go-to collection on adidas.com/golf.
Fella.
What's missing curfew? It's when you kind of play guilty, but you show up.
How nice is a green light on the road, though? No practice tomorrow, no plane, just go.
Scotty Upshaw in the clear, and he scores! Right in front, scores!
A few laughs, a little bit of fun, and obviously a lot of hockey talk.
You're listening to Missing Curfew.
Fella, lads.
Fella, my man. Fella Friday, hashtag Fella Tour. Here we are, buddy.
Labatt Blue, DraftKings.
Crown Royal.
It's nice to be up here in the motherland. Shout out to the boys, the whole crew. A-Hall, Maxi, Princey coming in from Cowtown. It was nice to get on the road again, buddy.
Good team dinner last night at the Keg.
Who doesn't come to Canada without a little mushrooms Neptune, a little Caesar salad?
I got to be honest. I guess I haven't been to the Keg maybe since I played in Vancouver or Cowtown. Thought the price has gone up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, when she brought the bill, I was like...
Thought it was a little bit like Outback last time, I remember.
I was like, Updog, did you get Stag's Leap or did you get Opus 1 there? What was that? But the food never disappoints.
It doesn't, no. But it was just nice. It was camaraderie at its finest, yeah, you know, getting on the road. Knowing that this is the start of probably a little 10-day, I think we have.
We got a little break in between, thank God. But yeah, we're going right from here.
Break in between, good thing, because I might have the locks changed when the time I get home.
Right into the wasted management. I can't wait for that. But hey, shout out to you for setting this up. Obviously, we're at the Gretzky basement. Ty, Trevor, Tristan, who I just met. And obviously, shout out to the great one for allowing us to come in here. What a cool little setup, man. They killed it. Ty has good swag. I knew he'd kill it.
Absolutely. No, and we're going to chat with those boys shortly. But what an incredible job they did showing, basically giving praise to the tradition of the Gretzky family and what Walter meant. And, like, you know, I just seen a puck downstairs from, I think, 69, like one of Wayne's, like, Pee Wee Quebec, like a Pee Wee hat trick puck. And then you see the jerseys and the stories that go along with it. And then the one thing I highlighted, that I enjoyed was just all the pictures of his grandparents, you know, of Tristan and Trevor and Ty's grandparents, like a nice thing. And then these TVs, I guess the TVs downstairs, which you'll see all of our social media, these things are like ancient. Yeah. And I guess it took them hours. Maxie, even you wouldn't be able to put these TVs together and make them all work. They're like from like the 50s and shit. Super badass. You know, they did a great job.
Blew me away down there was just the two old school sticks, right? He had the Titan stick, which was my first ever hockey stick.
How much did that weigh?
Well, it was in a glass thing. I was going to try. I'm like, hey, Ty, open that up. I would look at it. But then the old school two-piece, first one ever, the Easton, the silver Easton was the first one that I wanted after. I'm like, finally got pretty good at hockey. I'm like, go to my mom, not my dad. Pitter, cheap prick, love you. But I'm like, I want that, the silver two-piece, one Gretz is using.
Totally.
It's sick. So,
totally.
Updog, thanks to Ty, the old Gretzky family. This is unbelievable. First and foremost, we got to give some shout-out. Last week, we played Eldorado. Shout-out to the superintendent, Craig Ellis. I guess he's a fan of Missing Curfew. Listen, fella, you had that place mint. The greens are
tight.
Mint. The fairways are mint. We'd love to come back anytime, so I wanted to give some love to Craig.
Yeah, shout out to Dennis Shannon and Benny McAllister, two absolute beauties. Thanks for taking us out. Listen, that place is he's a good lad from PEI.
Is he?
And it's funny because PEI, he went PEI to Penn State, and I guess Penn State has one of the country's like top, what do you call it when you learn about grass? Not marijuana.
Agriculture?
Something like that, but for golf, there you go. Golf specific.
You had a degree in grass, but different kind of degree.
So listen.
What kind of weed's this? Oh, boys, that's Kelowna right yeah. there. I used to smoke that. That's good stuff.
Yeah, this is the BC bud here. But well, yeah, what a trajectory from PEI, you know, Maritimers through Penn State, right into Palm Springs. I mean, yeah. You're right. That course was tight.
So Craig, thanks for listening, fellow. We'll send you some merch. We flew on the team bird. I felt like our own team bird, right? I got bumped off the plane. Then I got back on the plane. Then we got delayed. We came up in the Mystic Curfew Sprinter van. I noticed that you were doing some work on the plane, right? Yeah, did you have your computer out? Someone told me you had the computer out. Yeah. Well, me, I was watching movies. And for you beauties out there that are looking for something to watch here with the, you know, we got the skills tomorrow, then we got the All-Star game, and then maybe a little lull on Sunday with no football, Blades of Glory. Chaz Michaels, I'm telling you, man, this guy's character, I forgot how good he was. He's just like, Chaz Michaels is figure skating. Boom! Boys, check it out. That's what I did. I watched three movies.
So three? Wow, that's why you were so comfy at the filet flap.
Can I tell you one second movie I watched, but it's kind of embarrassing. I watched...
A tearjerker?
No, listen, I watched How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Okay.
But you want to know why? Because I have a crush on Kate Hudson.
Says you and everyone else in this room especially.
But at one point when I was sitting up there watching a rom-com by myself, I'm like, this is borderline, this is loser mentality here, no?
Ah, you switch it up. You throw curveballs every now and then. Yeah. You know?
But anyways, Chaz Michaels, I'm telling you, I know you're busy because you got two kids, but fellas out there, check it out. Updog, you got one going. Get this guy a Labatt Blue fella.
My man, presented by Labatt Blue Light, the premier pilsner. Enjoy your beers together, boys, so you can live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
How's that tall boy?
That's tall boy's a nice, nice tall boy. Yeah, it's cold. It's nice. It's,
hey, listen,
this is what you need.
This is a stupid question, but they have tall boys everywhere, right? Yeah, of course.
I think so, yeah. Especially in the, like, the gas stations.
You know what was my move back in the day? I just grab a six-pack of tall boys.
Yeah,
what? Just take it right out on the bus.
Like,
on the bus.
Like, yeah.
They're the junkies. That's true. Six-pack of fucking Blue Light.
Yeah. Goes well with an edible.
It sure did.
You just want to get a real, you know, those bus drives. Wow, man.
Buddy, we did it.
Imagine the Cincinnati back to Milwaukee.
There's a reason why you can wear those buttery fucking shoes. It's because we rode the buses forever.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, Johnny V, thanks.
Look at that outfit. That outfit. I feel like I'm underdressed here, boys.
Have a show. I'm playing Massey Hall.
Massey Hall. Please look at the stage. Scotty Upshaw.
What would I start with? I'd probably come out with...
Touch me,
I want to scream part one.
Yeah, that's
before you get into two, you know?
Give this guy a Labatt Blue Light. Listen, shout out to Frank Vetrano. Frankie's an all-star. He's actually on his way here right now. He's going to stop in and chat with us tomorrow. We're going to get some content. But listen, I'm a degenerate, right? I'm at dinner with the boys. I see who's up. I got Ducks, Sharks. Ducks minus 180. They're playing awful. Troy Terry ties it up. Frankie Vetrano, OT winner, throws his stick over the glass and heads right to the bird to the All-Star game.
Yeah,
so, Frankie, get yourself a Blue Light. Up, dog. I can't wait to meet this guy, but an unbelievable OT winner. Want me some money?
Yeah, I was thinking about you, bud, because, I mean, San Jose, it's a snoozer, right? San Jose, Anaheim, day before the All-Star game. I mean, there's nothing else on.
And no.
We witnessed that. But I kind of was thinking about you because they're down one late. Troy Terry, huge goal, tied up. Seconds left. And then Booyah. What's with the kids throwing the sticks after they score? Jack Hughes started last
Jack
year.
Jack Hughes started it. Then Zegras did it. Yeah. I think Frankie was just pure emotion. Like, he realized, like, I'm going to the All-Star game. I can't believe I haven't left yet. Here's my stick. See you later.
I think he was more thinking about the boys who probably had their early flights to Mexico or wherever. You know, he's like, boys, this one's for you. Let's get at it.
Rumor has it a couple of those guys are heading to Cabo to tee it up. So that, by the way, that's a perfect trip if you're a Ducks All-Star. Easy flight, 2 hours, right to Cabo.
Right to Cabo.
How are you?
How are you? Bob's your uncle.
Or Columbia, if you how many days you really got.
Well, that's if you play on the East Coast.
Yeah. Frankie, get yourself a Blue Light, fella. Up, dog. It's milk carton time here at Missing Curfew. Listen, you got drafted 6th overall. I got drafted 250th overall. But we were both drafted. There's going to be a draft that takes place tonight. And listen, if you're the last pick of the All-Star draft, there's nothing wrong with that. But on the milk carton today, we're both going to pick who we think is going to go DFL, dead fucking last. I'm going with, throw him on the milk carton, or you'll be able to find him, you'll be sitting there. But I'm going Boone Jenner from the Columbus Blue Jackets. No disrespect, Boone. You've been playing with the fishbowl on. You play hard. I just look at the rest of the roster, and if it was me and the Updog picking my team, I would take Boone Jenner as last. So we'll see how it plays out. But who do you think is going to be the last pick?
I think he's wearing the fishbowl too, right?
Still, even in the All-Star game?
He had it on the other night when they played played Anaheim the other night. They played St. Louis Blues. And I think he had the fishbowl on.
I'll tell you what. I bumped into Chris Pronger when we landed, when we were waiting for the boys. And
yeah,
I love St. Louis because of you. I've never been to Obie Clark's. The effort that they put, actually, this should be the milk carton.
No, I'm going to say my milk carton is Robert Thomas from St. Louis.
Robert Thomas.
Because I saw the effort you put in the other night.
Oh.
And they have 5 in a row going, could be 6 in a row before the All-Star break.
By the way, right?
And they laid, and it's not just on him. It's more of their team. It's more of, you know, collective effort. Maybe they all had their heads in the sand and, you know, they already had their SPF on, ready to go rock and roll down the beach. But yeah, so for me, it's Robert Thomas tonight for dead last, dead fucking last.
DFL. I heard Tiger say that at the Hero World Challenge he did. He was like, who's that one golfer, the guy that looks like Happy Gilmore's caddy? Volstari, or whatever his name is. He's like, hey, I guess me and you, he's like, two guys haven't played since April. I guess we're playing for DFL, dead fucking last. So listen, the All-Star game before, as we know, it's hard.
Yeah.
But how much better is it to go on the break when you have one? Like, I just, I was watching that game. Yeah, I had
for a rookie party. It's a green light.
You got to win that game. So I'm interested to see how the draft unfolds. Boone Jenner, I got you going dead last. Updog's got Robert Thomas. Listen, Updog, big news yesterday. Princey was at dinner. He had a half chub. He's all fired up here. Craig Conroy's making deals. Elias Lindholm is going to the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't need to get into what Calgary got. They got
friendly fire, I feel.
Kuzmenko, who's a Russian kid that, listen, has got lots of skill. He scored 30.
Yeah.
Got in Tox's doghouse. I've been there. Gets dark and lonely in the doghouse. He's going to go there. They got the first round pick, a couple prospects. But from the Vancouver perspective, I don't know if Lindholm would have been my first pick. I don't know if he can play with the pace. Right now, Tox has got these guys playing quick, fast, and hard. Now, I think he could probably come in and do it, but I've never met a Swede who's not a bad guy. Gives him good depth down the middle. Now you can go Pedersen, Miller, Lindholm if you want, or whatever. So I think it's a good trade for Van.
Yeah, two parts to that piece you have there is I think they fill a second line center role. That's a player that's proven. He's well-equipped with the division they're in. It's pretty familiar territory, right? You just slide in one province over. How are you?
Yeah, it's a much better province.
But,
well, actually, I like
Alberta. But your question about, you know, is he the pace of play type player that they're looking for? You know what it's like when you get stuck in that so-called doghouse and you have, you know, fucking dog days are upon you and your team stinks and you're just fighting and crapping and, you know, you're just scraping for every inch you can get. Well, right now, he's got a chance to go to a new team who happens to be first in the league. What an opportunity coming in for a team that wants him. That automatically picks up your pace of play. It automatically gives you a little more confidence, a little more feel. You want to get in there and make these guys proud. You know you're playing in front of a new coach, new fans, new teammates. Great opportunity for him. I think it's great. I think it's a good play.
Now
what's going to happen with the old Tanev is the question.
Yeah, now they got Tanev and Hannafin.
If they get the tripod, then how are you?
Yeah.
Imagine getting three players from one team who's a divisional opponent.
I love that Connie's made two trades, both with the Canucks. Here you go. You could have my big Russian D-man and my top line center. But Connie's got a job to do. I get it. You know, I saw his... You know, one thing about Connie that you got to love or hate or whatever is he's a very honest guy. Like, when I played in Calgary, he's a very honest guy. And I heard his interview, and I was like, wow, he really gave the play-by-play of everything that went into that trade. Now, if I'm the owner of the Calgary Flames, maybe I'm like, hey, Connie, like, we don't need to. But that's it. He's an honest guy.
You know, or the owner of the Calgary Flames or other GMs who are maybe calling and asking him and offering guys and doing whatever. Those guys might be like, I can't call Connie again. He's going to tell He's like, you know, where's the what happens on the road stays on the road type thing.
Exactly.
You know?
A lot of your wife, not the boys. I used to like that one. Hey, a lot of your wife, not the boys here.
That's just a figure of speech.
I'm telling you right now, though, Vancouver went all, like, that's telling the boy. Like, if you're on the break right now, me and you are playing for the Canucks, and we're down in Cabo, and we just picked up a legit second-line center.
Yeah.
How excited are we to, A, continue our all-star bender, right?
Totally. Yeah.
And, B, to get back and be like, all right, here we go, right? We made a move at the deadline, at the all-star break. We got our guy. They can make another move before the deadline. Listen, I'm an old Canuck. You know that. I'm fired up that this has happened. I love Rick Tocchet, as you do. So I think I got to give Jim Rutherford and the GM a lot of credit. Patrick Alvin, is that how you say his name, Princey? Alvin?
Yeah, yeah. I think
they both got extensions. Everyone's getting paid in Vancouver.
Totally. Right. And let's just be honest. It's all on the head guy.
Yeah.
It's all on Tox coming in, changing the culture.
Yeah.
No offense to our previous guy. We love him, Greener, to death.
Yeah.
But just.
Well, Boudreaux was
new, fresh. Yeah. I mean, sorry, Greener, Boudreaux. But just new, fresh spirit.
Yeah.
Spirit's a good word, right? Spirit, energy.
They're playing
it's fucking rains there a lot, you know?
Straight lines. You
can bring the sunshine into the rink when it's fucking dark and gray outside.
Someone here at the Gretzky Basement House, I'll leave him nameless because we don't need to. He told me that when Lindholm was negotiating his contract in Calgary, that it was something along the lines of 11 bananas a year. So that fella.
Yeah.
Hey, like he had one good year with 100 points with Johnny and Matty, $11 million. So if that's the case, Connie had no choice but to trade him. And I don't think he really wants to.
You're already paying one guy 11 and that, how's that working out, right?
Yeah.
So
time will tell. Canucks, baby. We're all Canucks up, dog. Top titty fella.
Top
listen,
titty.
Up dog, you missed top titty again, but that's okay.
Where was I?
Shout out to our winner, L. Duchette, 81, 166 points. He had Brock Besser, Markstrom, the captain, Brento, 10th, Princey, 27th, myself, 31st. No top titty this week because of the All-Star game, but we appreciate you boys playing that. I'm starting to come, boys, so I'm starting to come. I'm starting to feel it, boys. To edit that out, I'm starting to feel it.
No
listen
chance.
Up, dog.
That's Stan.
We are DraftKings Lock of the Night.
Lock of the Night. Fella. Presented by DraftKings Fantasy Sports. Check out what DraftKings has to offer this season with code
Curfew Kings.
Because life's more fun, fellas, when you're on. Because life's more fun, fellas, when you're in on the action. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See DraftKings.com for details, fella.
Up, dog, you're on fire. You're 8-2. You took the Rangers over the Sens.
Stay hot.
Where Sens guys were like, Brady Tkachuk changed the complexion of the game. Whoa, 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 whoa. But they gave up 5 in the second, boys. So I wouldn't put it on Brady chucking them, but... I had a tough loss. Listen, the Winnipeg Jets, I'm 8-4. So together, we combined, we are 16-6. Listen, there's an All-Star game. We're going to do, I'm not going to guarantee, maybe say it's a lock, but we're going to pick some guys for the skills competition. The skills competition this year is a unique million dollars on the line. You go first. Who do you think is going to win it? We'll call it the lock of the night, but tread carefully.
My lock of the night, fella edition, is... Kale McCarr. Love. I think Kale McCarr, he's plus 700, I think, in this skills comp to win.
Exactly what he is.
Boys, well, what is he, the only D-man going?
Him and Quinn Hughes is in there.
Quinn Hughes is in there, too. Yeah, but yeah, I guess this kid, I mean.
Listen, you're taking the guy that was it 300 points?
300 points, Bobby Orr.
Bobby Orr, one game. Took him one more game than Bobby Orr.
Yeah.
So that's not bad.
He's not bad, and I just like his... you think about skills comps.
You like his skating stride, don't you?
Hell, I like that. I like the way he shoots the biscuit.
But his release
let's just be honest. Everyone's going to pick Austin Matthews. Maybe you get good odds on Austin. People pick Connor McDavid because he's, you know, arguably the best player ever. But what Kale McCarr does, I think the odds are going to be in his favor, fella.
The odds are in your favor. That's the Hunger Games, right? The odds are in your favor. Listen, I'm going not necessarily off the board. Replacement for Jack Hughes. I've got to know this kid through our boy, Matt Gell. It's Matthew Barzal. Good British Columbia guy.
Good looking
cat. I still don't love that he shaved his head, but maybe Lou made him do it something. Plus 850. Barzal, the reason I want him to win is he's coming to the party. And if he wins $1 million and the guy coming on next is throwing the party... He already promised you throw some cash around the shaker for us. So I'm taking Matty Barzal plus 850. Updog's got Kale McCarr. Listen, I used to hate the skills. We ripped it the last couple of years. Good on the NHL. I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah.
We're still going to find a nice location where we can watch it, where we get a cocktail, but it's going to be fun. Come on, Matty.
Do you think they're going to hand out like a check, like semi-pro, just a big old check, and you take it out of there?
Happy Gilmore, you got a big check. Just give me one of those big checks.
I imagine I'd bring that thing right into park.
I can't imagine two things. I can't imagine either one of us being in the skills competition, and I can't imagine us winning $1 million for, like, could you imagine the shaker we would have?
I know we deserve to,
yeah.
But like you, I would assume that would never happen.
Yeah. Speaking of shakers, we got our boy T-Money, Travis, coming at you right after the break.
Fellas.
Fella, we got to talk about Jägermeister. No chirping, no running its mouth. Let's just talk about the confidence on these guys.
Our friends at Jägermeister sent us this ad read to read on the show, fella. But they're confident that they said, don't do any of that normal ad stuff.
Tell the listeners two things. Jägermeister's great, and everyone's been drinking it wrong. Well, if that's the case, how the hell do you think we should be drinking it?
Up, dog, that's a great question. Ice cold, fella. At 0 degrees Fahrenheit, to be exact. Ice cold shots of Jägermeister. That's it, my man. That's all they want to tell you. Damn, that's cold.
Just remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Drink responsibly. Jägermeister Liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister US, White Plains, New York.
Welcome back to Mr. Curfew, Up Dog.
Fella.
Fella tour continues, and without this beauty, there would have been no fella tour.
Well, without this beauty, there would be no, Toronto would just be some ordinary city in the middle of the damn country. But now it's one of the best cities, and for more reasons than I can say on this podcast. But without further ado, our boy Travis Agresti, my man, welcome to Missing Curfew.
Thanks for having me, boys. It's been a long time coming. Thanks for
You're looking sharp. Like I'm feeling like I'm underdressed here, boys.
Yeah. I it's shocker because you got some Johnny V jackets.
But... I do. I love it. Remember that one by the way, you have the best setup for a Leafs game that I've ever been to. So thank you again. Like, so we show up. He's like, I got your tickets, boys. Don't worry. We come in. Right to the underground. Well, you explain it. The setup you have for your game.
Yeah, it's a good setup. We get to roll right into the underground there, and straight to the Platinum Lounge. Grab your dinner. I mean, food's all right.
And then
straight to the seats, and your cocktails are waiting for you after the period. Seats, your table's saved. Cocktails are waiting, and then right back to the seats afterwards. Every period, you got a spot to sit. You don't want to be upstairs on the concourse.
A spot to sit in a cold, what were they? A little espresso martini? Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. They're the best.
You can't beat it.
Yeah, and the best was you could take your wine to the seats, right? By the way,
yep.
So Travis's seats were where, do you guys remember, Pierce pointed at the boys. Up dog saw him in the first period. Pierce comes down, scores the post and end breakaway. Those were Travis's seats. But you keep the wine at your table, and then you can bring your cocktail with you.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is every guy's dream.
Yeah, yeah. You don't need to yell at anyone for like, hey, I haven't finished my drink.
Exactly.
Come on, give me a break here.
Yeah.
No, it's a nice, it's a classy establishment. And after being in all these rinks, you know, as a player, it's nice to see like how they take care of the VIPs and those nice, you know, season ticket holders,
yeah.
You know, when they show up and Toronto's like a downtown classy establishment. You want to come from Harbor 60 right in there.
That's what we
traded properly. And I mean, and then you walk by that, the little underground area in Toronto's nice too. The little underground bunkers.
I used to love walking through there as a player.
Yeah, well,
like walking down those stairs,
head on swivel,
coming out, you're like, here we go.
You said it before, but now you know why they take forever to get back to their seats.
Yeah.
Why would you?
Yeah. No, by the way, I've always like, especially when I was growing up, I'm like, these fucking rich fuckers, they're good down there. I'm like, they're not even cheering on the Leafs. Well, now that I've been down there, I'm like, I'm not in a hurry either.
Yeah.
Let's take their time. But how long have those tickets been in your family? Like, your dad's had those for a while.
So, yeah, I think my dad had his season tickets at the Gardens in the 60s. It would be like late 60s. Early 70s, and then he kept them right through, and then when they moved over to the ACC, they actually brought him down and let him pick his seat. So my mom and him, they picked their seats. So.
What's you have any I've never been to the Garden. You've been to the Garden. You watch
let me ask you real quick, where were your dad's seats in the Garden?
Center ice Reds.
Oh, that's a good
seat. I was gonna say, what's
on the aisle? Oh,
that's a good seat.
You're in and out, you're not bugging anyone.
Yeah, that's a good seat. See, Peter, my dad would have liked that seat.
Yeah.
Center ice Reds.
Yes.
I think my first seat Peter took me to, I think I was in the greens.
Yeah.
Up on the side, greens, right?
Yeah, and then the blues were behind the net, like the ones that were straight down. Like if you tripped, you're landing on the goal.
I tell you what, a couple games later, my dad took me to the blues, and you sit literally like Cujo with the goalie up, dog.
Yeah,
your Cujo's right here, and you're like,
yeah,
like heads up.
Yeah, it was the
any like, you know, looking back to any big memories of like the Garden, like anything about it that actually stands out for when, because I remember I was an Oilers guy watching Gretzky. In fact, my first game ever, I think I told this, but was when Gretzky came back as a king, played against the Oilers. It was like Billy Ranford, and I'm like, you know, I sat behind the glass, but I always remembered Rexall with that experience, right? Like
right.
Experience. Is there anything that brings like?
Yeah, I went to the. I guess playoff game, Toronto St. Louis, where Dougie did his wraparound there on Cujo, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I was at that one with my dad, and I don't know what it was. Was it like two or three overtimes? And,
yeah. That was
school night.
93, right? 93, yeah.
School night, you're a kid. I was whatever, 12 years old, so I was hoping to.
Well, we're sitting in the guy's basement that shattered our dreams, right? I mean, first time up, he had Gretz on the pod. I played against Gretz when he was coaching up. but I never met him. So we bring him on the pod, and I'm pretty nervous, and Ups is nervous. And I had to ask him about the high stick. I said, hey, what about your high stick? He goes, well, in game two, somebody cross-checked me and broke my ribs or something. He's like, so I was playing with broken ribs. I feel it was okay for Dougie to play with a little cut over his eye.
Yeah, what?
I was like, I'm like, Gretz, you're right about that.
Yeah.
You're right about that. But when I had Dougie G on for the first time, I was so nervous. Like, who was your favorite leader?
Dougie,
yeah.
Yeah. By far.
By far.
Yeah.
I was so nervous. Up, he's like, all right. I'm like, I'm nervous for this one, fellas. Dougie
G. Yeah.
Like, him and Wendell.
Yeah, I grew up with, like, Ty being, like, a super close family friend. He's, like, a big brother to me for, like, even from the hockey days right through into business days. Like, we've always been so... Ty was more, like, you know, family, but for being a... fan of someone, definitely Dougie was my guy always.
So just for our listeners, you know you grew up here, big family, you know, your brother plays hockey, he's got a fucking sick outdoor rink in his backyard, like that's how much he still enjoys the game.
He's a fucking glue guy. We gotta get him a glue guy t-shirt. He's a glue guy.
And and so, like, the family business, you know, you grew up playing hockey with our boy Cody Liable, shout out to her. Is there anything back in the day? I mean, he's a star.
How was his workouts? Was he working hard or what?
I mean,
was Lauren
giving him a private? So, we go back to, like, young days, like, you know, right out of high school, where I played some hockey with Cody, and we're buddies. And I mean, there's so many stories with Cody.
Oh, he's hilarious.
I can't even start, but he was the best practice player ever.
No, the one that's
tricked me as the best practice.
Oh, the best.
The one that's great is, and you and Robe, or shout out to Robe too, but
good guy.
Isn't there one where, like, you know, your star player gets fucking smoked, right? And the tough guy, it might have been in
China.
It was Barry,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You want to
start it? Star player on Barry. I don't even know who it would have been at the time, but he got run over. And Cody happened to be on the ice, and Sugden was on the team.
Oh.
And Suggy was on the bench.
There's a killer.
And the guy, I guess, whatever, that hit Barry's best player or whatever, he was skating by, and, you know, Cody chirped one of the guys, of course, like Cody. And
shocker.
And imagine the best player got hit. Suggy, nobody did a thing until Cody chirped the guy, and then the guy just sort of, like, stepped up to Cody a little bit. Suggy jumped forward out and killed the guy. And, like, what did you do to Sugden? Protect you, not our best player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, it's like, I got him on the payroll.
Yeah,
there's some there. But,
Hey, Trav, you like to chuck him, though, right? You were telling me, speaking of that game we went to when we were drinking lots of wine and espresso.
I wasn't filming that, so I was...
So you just got in there.
I was a couple times and got a lot of...
That's how you do it, though, right? You just got to get in there and start chucking them.
I mean, back then, it was, you know, there was, you know, a path for guys who, you know, who did that, obviously. So for me, it was just, you know, Ty would have me on the ice and, you know, show me. So I would, for me, it was like, this is my way to get to junior and get moving here. So I fought a lot.
I got beat up many times.
Yeah, we all did, bud. There's only one way to learn. You got to get in there and just start chucking them.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's because you didn't grow up in the city, too, right? You grew up a little bit outside, right? So you learn how to be a little bit of a fucking...
Yeah, yeah. I grew up in a, you know, small town, and yeah, that's what you do, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of fights, and guys are fighting all the time. I left and moved down to the city at a young age, and...
No, I remember I was 16 years old playing junior hockey. I got the wheels beat off me. I come out, my eyes black, and my uncle's like, I'm kind of dying. He's like, a guy beat me up. He's like, if you're not losing, you're not fighting the right guys.
100%.
I'm like, well, that's an interesting take. I get where you're coming from. But I like to win a few more in your life.
Fuck, I fought five times last
week. I'm fighting this 20-year-old guy. I'm 16. I'm not an ounce of fat.
Yeah.
No pubic hair yet, fat. I'm like, I'm fighting this guy? Like, just getting the... Yeah.
None. Like, I was 14 or 15, late birthday, so it was probably 14 in my 15th year, and I was playing junior A, and there was a line brawl. And I was the only guy that hadn't signed on the team, so I had to wear a full cage when the whole league was half visor. So I was all
getting chirped.
Yeah. And I'm like, please let me wear it. He's like, no, can't do it. So line brawl, I'm the odd guy. I drop my gloves. My eyes are perfect. The guy takes off his helmet. He looks at me. I take off mine. I'm like, let's go. I looked over at the bench, and the guys were just like this. Now, this guy had a full beard. I didn't have any hair on my body.
Yeah, that's a
man. I went in there just chucking him. Thought I'm doing great. Wasn't even hit. He just stepped back, cracked me with one in the head, and I was just out. And I just climbed him like a ladder to get back up. He said, "You know, you did all right, Rook. Just hold on, wait for the rest."
Yeah,
because he couldn't hold his dumb. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Just you're like you're looking at the light. Get in here, would you please?
Yeah, get in here, man. I can't dump him. I need help.
Yeah. So let's talk about how did you get, you know, into the nightclub scene? And you said you moved to the city and stuff like that. And obviously, I used to, you know, when I first met you, you had EFS. That was a staple when any of the boys would come in here. But how did you get into, like, fuck it, let's get some nightclubs going, fellas?
Yeah, I mean, so I mean, I grew up, like you said, in the, you know, suburbs outside the city, about an hour north. And, you know, family was in the produce business and farming and stuff like that. And I was like, I'm not doing this. There's no chance I'm going to be, you know, carrying
back. One bad year of weather, I'm fucked.
I'm not doing this.
If I get a care crisis, I'm in one.
I moved down. I left home at 16 or 17. I moved down here and I said, I want to open a nightclub. Long story short, I got a job at Fluid, which is the busiest nightclub in the city at the time, and got some experience, and then opened across the street. I mean, overcommitted. I mean, it was a 15,000 square foot place. I was only 19. Got, you know, as much money as I could borrow. Small business. My family was not really, you know, I mean, they didn't really understand the club business. Yeah. So for me, it was like, I gotta, you know, borrow wherever I can borrow and put everything I've made into this thing and get a loan. Somehow I got a loan and I built it. And, then yeah, Vince Carter was a customer of Fluid. I invited him to the opening. He loved the place right when he signed his big ticket. And, he said, "I'd love to get involved. Like, I want to be a partner. I'm here now for a while. I'd love to be a partner." And you know, I guess they did their research to make sure that, you know, that I was
checked all the boxes.
Yeah, checked all the boxes.
That's a little background check. Yeah. This guy here, he seems like a little flat. Exactly. With his pants here.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, I was pretty young, so I met with his parents, or sorry, his mom and his like his financial guys, and made sure it was a good fit, I guess. And you know, I mean, I opened in probably one of the most corrupt police eras in the history of this city, for sure. And it was extreme corruption, especially on nightclubs, a lot of organized crime, it was a tough time for, you know, me being 19. All I knew is I'm just running a legit business here. That's all I'm gonna do. So, you know, guys would come and pay me visits and I didn't understand how it worked. For me, it was more
like just banging your door and saying, "Hey, Travis,
you're gonna hire our security guys. We want our guys in here." I'm like, "What?
Yeah.
How? Oh, you're gonna hire anyone?" And he's like, finally they realize, man, this kid doesn't get it. And so and then you got the cops and you got organized crime, you got both of them you're trying to deal with, and it's you know, you're not sure which side do I pick here. You know, it was tough to navigate. And then you know, Vince came in as my partner after my first year, and you know, bought 50% of the business, got me my money back so I could tell everyone in my family that I didn't, you know, fall
face
type of thing. And allowed me to open a lot of doors for me. And, you know, we became, you know, really close buddies. You know, I know he had a rough ride at one point here, but he was a great guy. I mean, you know, and we spent like a lot of time together. We traveled together. He didn't have a lot of friends because he was a superstar from high school, right? So, but yeah, it was. We built a good nightclub. We ran that for. Well, I ran it. He showed up to staff
meeting. Yeah, yeah.
That with a clipboard because he wanted to learn, which is pretty comical. But we ran that for about 10 years, and then I moved to King Street and opened EFS and Addison's and a few other places in the city.
Yeah, you're making me feel bad about when I complain about emails and stuff. You're dealing with like people knocking on your door. I'm like, oh, I gotta do this. I'm like, oh god, there's a Slack message here. Like, you see this Slack message on this here?
I'm like, what Slack?
Fucking email. Did you see this email? What's going on here?
Yeah, yeah. No, it was tough. It was a tough time, and I was just the stubborn kid who just refused to sort of fail at it, and I couldn't.
No, the little time I've known you is you know what it takes to be successful, and you work at it, and you don't take, you know, no shit from anyone. Like, you're going to do your thing. Like, I've noticed that just being here
for the
last 5 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to ask you because, you know, one day I remember I was turning on the Vince, and our boy Hall's a hoops guy, and I turned on the Netflix thing about Vince Carter, and I'm sitting there, you know, probably hung cheese on the couch. I'm like, ah, this guy's sick. And all of a sudden, in comes fucking T-Money Travis. I'm like, holy shit.
But Vince Carter, to me, made me like basketball.
Yeah.
I don't love basketball anymore, but we don't need to get into that. But Vince, what he did to the city, like, yeah. You to be firsthand and be his buddy, like, it must have been a wild ride to see.
It was wild.
Jesus, forever.
It changed the country for basketball.
Yeah. And you Vancouver really could.
Tried it, but no chance. But he's single.
That's because they dropped into your country.
Yeah.
Fucking Canada. Good as his eyebrows over here. I'm like, this guy's not going to move the needle here.
But that was never Canada's team. But you're right. Like, well, yeah, it would have been wild.
Country. It was wild. Like, he couldn't even go anywhere. Like, he was.
Yeah,
he was.
You're thinking about a few other big countries.
Yeah, I have like a big countries in my career.
That's right. One of the things you told me over a couple dinners, you know, since we got to know each other with the red wine flowing and the gummies going and everything else you got going. When you're going back and forth to Vegas, man, like, how old were you? Were you going every weekend? Like, tell that story to the fellas
out
there.
Yeah, I was in my early 20s, probably 23, 24, somewhere around there. So I just started, you know, things started going well with my businesses here. And I was actually in a wedding in Vegas, and I had met the Fertitta brothers in the wedding, and they said, you know, we got to get you down here. We, you know, got to revamp things, and you know, we heard you're doing things at Toronto. And so anyways, I flew down the next week, and you know, they gave me a crazy offer for 23 years old, and US dollar was pretty strong. And I told them, like, you know, I thought about it, said, you know, left the room and came back and said, listen, I got my own business, doing well, you know, Vince had just become my partner. I don't know if I want to, you know, move to Vegas. Not to mention, I mean, I was 20. I didn't drink in my 20s, like no alcohol, nothing. So
super. I would have had a better career if I could. I don't drink as much now. So
you're okay with that, but I mean, you know, there's gambling, there's other things. So I said,
there's some other vices there.
Yeah. So I said, guys, listen, I'm going to pass. And then they literally took 2 seconds to just scratch out the offer and just write a new one, like, and just double it. Like, these guys just, it didn't matter. They would just keep going.
You're like, okay, I'm really not coming this time. I'll write one more time now. Yeah. Scratch it.
Anyway, so.
Well, and what was it for? Was it a new concept they wanted to bring, or what was there? Yeah.
Basically run a lot of the food and beverage and the entertainment side of all their properties and throughout Vegas, you know. But anyway, we ended up working something out, and I between them and another group, I ended up going down frequently, like every finish work at the nightclubs, Wednesday to Saturday, then get on a plane Sunday morning and go till Wednesday, and then go to Vegas till Wednesday, and then get back and go do it again. It was a lot.
There's one other guy I know who could do that. He's sitting right there with those tight jeans on, that thick jacket. I mean, the fact of what you're saying is to get on a bird, fly to Vegas. You didn't drink, so maybe you weren't hung cheese, but still being out the nightlife of it, jumping back on a bird.
And nowadays, it can.
How long did you do it for? Like, how before you're like, you know what? The money's good, boys, but I'm gonna hunker down.
I mean, it wasn't consistent every week, but I did. That went on for about a year and a half. Yeah, it was a lot.
Were you single?
No.
Do you wish you were single? So you weren't single?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Do you think now with the way Vegas has turned into a city in the last, you know, say 15 years, are you upset you didn't stay and maybe build something crazy? Like, what if that Sphere had like T-Money all over
it? Yeah, I mean, like, Sphere's pretty nice.
Yeah, and but just down there for that old school rock festival, right? Like,
yeah,
82.
Blink 182.
They had a festival that,
wow, off-street.
In October. I think it was a late September. We came in for or when was that?
It was
the home opener. We came in to watch Bedard.
Yeah.
Left the next
week. Yeah. It was really good. That was great. No,
Vegas has changed so much. Back then, I could see why you'd be like, guys, I think I'm good, right?
Yeah.
But now with Vegas the way it is now, with an opportunity like that, it's like, well, fuck, this is the hub of entertainment now.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Yeah. I mean, it would have been nice to get in. I mean, I was looking at obviously moving there and building a place of my own there and stuff like that, but it's hard. It's hard to penetrate that market. It's hard to get in. I mean, you got the towel.
Sometimes you
got
to penetrate.
Sometimes you have no.
Sometimes you got to, especially in Vegas, sometimes you got to penetrate.
Between the towel boys and Grutman, I mean.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It would have been Grutman. If you stayed in Vegas, Vegas was looking for a Grutman, basically back then. But
yeah.
I'd like to rewind a little bit back to like your days here and laying everything on the line, maybe something you didn't think you were going to do. Or like maybe someone was like, I wouldn't do that, Trav. I wouldn't go on that street with this club. I wouldn't do this. Like, was there a time where you just said, fuck it, I'm writing the check, I'm doing this concept, it's my bar, it's my fucking show. Was there anything that brings you back to like,
it's my career, I'll fuck like it up if I want.
Yeah,
Vince and I really brought bottle service, right? Like, there was no bottle service in Canada, so we were the first to get charged.
So the reason I spent all my stuff.
No, it's all right. I still love it. But at the same time, it ruined nightclubs the way they were. Like, you know, they used to be fun. It used to be, you know, a dance floor. Like, you know, girls would dance all night. It was like, it wasn't, now it's, you know, it's not quite the same. But yeah, back to your question, I mean, we came up with a concept to do Addison's, this cool, like, neighborhood, like, house, and build it, like, do a kitchen, a living area, a games room, a backyard that was huge with cabanas and everything. And, you know, do it more like, as in the, when nightclubs are so looked at as so pretentious and, you know, cover charge and, you know, bottle service. And if you're not, you don't know somebody, not get in. This was more of a neighborhood spot, no cover charge. We were like adamant about that. And it was awesome. It was definitely.
That was a sick club. It was almost like, it's almost like in LA, we have bungalow. Yeah. Similar to bungalow, but neighborhoody.
Yeah.
Bungalow doesn't have neighborhood aspect to it. You're in the city, you have your own ass, you know.
Can I ask you a question about all the lines and stuff you're talking about? Like, do you ever remember the first time you used your NHL card? Did you think, like, I got to get to a place where I never have to use this again? Like, was it not the worst thing in the world when you're like, hey, I play in the NHL, here's my NHL card. I'm like, I gotta meet some people that I'll never have to do that again. Because it's such a loser move.
Those days are so much fun, though, where you're just like, you rock into a city where you absolutely know nobody.
Yeah, and you just come in with the NHL card.
You have three of your buddies. You have your three
guys come more time and say, hey, NHL card. Or
see
if
So back to like him being the first one to introduce bottle service. Back then, you couldn't just go up to the door and be like, hey, we want a table. Like, a table. What's the minimum? Or where's your manager? Hey, you know, we look like we're dressed like this. We were just fucking kids. And we're basically like, can we pass the line? They get a bit, we're thinking cowboys, at least I am.
Yeah.
Cowboys in Calgary for the Stampede. Shout out to Princey. The fucking lineup to get in is out the door. And
I use my NHL card.
There's tables and shit. You're just getting in.
They're just trying
to. And then it's every man for himself.
Yeah.
But, you know,
it's a cage.
A lot of guys get in there.
Yeah, the
car. I mean, eventually, I mean, with hockey, obviously, I got to know most of the guys, hockey and basketball. I knew, you know, who's who, like everyone, right? But, and I lived it. I was there every night. So, but, you know, some guys would have to use
the card. Yeah. I was like, when I first started, I'm like, I got to find a better way. I got to find a way to meet some people where I don't have to use this stupid cart. And then when they took the card away, I'm like, can I get the card back? Yeah. And I'm like, wow, I'd give that anything for that actual card. Do you ever tell people when they're like complaining about the minimum stuff, do you ever say you're not paying for the booze, you're paying for the real estate? You know what I mean?
You know what? It's paying for the bottle. You're paying for to be in the mix here for CDs. See them coming by? See them call? I know the boys that bill come and say, oh, it's what? I only had four beers.
Yeah. Well, you sat there in the prime real estate, buddy. You owe $2,500.
Yeah. Anyone ever stick you with a bill that's like super popular that you have no time for right now, where you're like, you wouldn't mind chirping them right now? And
like, my dog's looking for some clickbait out here. There. Don't fall for his trap, buddy. Don't fall for his trap.
I'm trying to think. No, I mean, I don't think so.
It could be like some, you know, pigeon that just...
The girls usually would have to pay the bill if the guy's stuff. So
yeah, you're like, hey,
at the card, I'd make them do the hard part. Get the card and ID before you bring anything out type of thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, some guys, I mean, Iverson used to never, ever understand the concept of why he can't bring his bottles from dinner to the nightclub. So he'd show up with a couple bottles of Cristal tucked in his jacket. I'm like, dude, you can't. There's liquor laws. Like, it can't allow you to bring that. And then if he felt in any way you're embarrassing him, he'd be like, give me 10. And he'd buy 10. I'd be sitting out front just praying that he brought a bottle. You call him out. But yeah.
Okay, so
how many would he roll deep? Would he have his whole entourage?
Well, that's how he stole his dough, right?
And brought them everywhere. Like, I saw him at All-Star in LA, and he had a, like, motorcade of Rolls and Bentleys, like 10 of them, and all those boys roll.
Yeah, it's a fine line, because I was lucky to have Loops and Uppy, and we were all making money at the time. But when you're enjoying it, you want your buddies with you.
Yeah.
So I can see how these guys.
Yep.
Now, you don't want to roll 10 deep.
No, or 20.
You want
unless they're girls, but.
Yeah. But I'm saying, if you don't have your best buddies to enjoy it with while you're making bank, like, what's the point?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So bring me back. I asked you craziest like moment where you put everything on the line with all the madness in nightclub business over the years. Is there anything that you're like, you know, I gotta, I got to do something. I got to take a guy out. I got to fucking rip this guy's head off. Like,
There was a lot of head off. There was a lot of fights and stuff like that. And especially in the early days when, you know, there wasn't the same sort of gun violence or anything like that. But there was a lot of fights. And I mean, I was in the center of majority of them. And the problem was, is once my security team, which was usually 30 guys, you know,
big boys, like big fellas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me get involved and they'd be like, all right, green light. This is a green light. He's involved. So we can just,
unleash it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unleash the barrel. I just
exactly.
When one of your bars is in a neighborhood, like how much shit can go on there where you have an open backyard?
Yeah. Like, so we're getting consistently broken into, and robbed on the patio, like consistently, like guys were hopping over consistently and stealing stuff. I mean, whether it be equipment, whether it be alcohol, like they were just cleaning us out. And one long weekend, they hit us three nights in a row. And so, you know, I'm great relationship with the
on cameras. You freely flaggers.
Yeah, the hoodies and stuff. And I have a great relationship with the Toronto Police and you know, a lot of the plainclothes guys that deal with us on a regular basis. And you know, I called them. I went for meetings. And guys, this is getting crazy. Like three nights in a row, like I need your assistance here. And I said, what do you want us to do? Park a car out front? Like at the end of the day, if we park there, they're not coming. So like, you know, the chances of us dedicating resources to put someone there or a team there all night, it's not going to happen, Travis. I got to be honest with you. So basically you're telling
me. They're honest with you. Nothing matters into my own hands here.
Yes. So I said, listen, well then I'm waiting. I'm going to wait on the patio. I'm going to wait for them. And I mean, I was young and whatever. So I waited at the back, like we had a little outdoor kitchen. I waited like underneath the barbecue with another guy. I put two or three of my security guys across the street. I'm going to get in trouble for telling this, but two or three of my security guys.
Just, you're looking after your property. You're not doing anything crazy. You're not doing anything illegal, actually, at this time.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, so I put a couple guys, my trusted guys that have been with me for years across the street. And we waited. And we waited 2 hours, 3 hours.
And it's a good old-fashioned stakeout.
I was, yeah, like pretty much asleep. And the one guy with me, this is a little guy that works with me, and he woke me up and said, I think they're here. I looked at my phone and my security guy had texted me from across the street. He said, they're here. It's game time. And I'm like, game time? Can you tell me? I texted back, how many guys? Who's here? Like, I had no idea when I was, because there's a big wall. You can't see around it. So you're walking out. There could be 20 guys.
Yeah.
So the plan was, I told the little guy, all your job is to run and open the front door to let the security guys come back and help us. If there's 10 guys, like, I'll dance around for a bit.
I'll
make it work.
You got good shoes on.
Yeah, no matter what, you go get help, man. And he's like, all right. So I walked, as I came out, the guy, I mean, and now I don't really feel bad, but like I came out and the guy who had a hockey bag and he was traveling from one bar to the other and it was just packed full. And he's walking with it, and I totally took him by surprise. Like, I had a hoodie on and just a black outfit. He jumped out. I'm like, oh, man, this is not your night. And he looks up at me, and he just screamed. He just collapsed.
But he's on your property at this time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, fuck, bring it on then. Get him.
So I dragged him around a bit and sort of restrained him.
Get a little
head. And just by chance, like, totally.
Hey, like that much?
By coincidence, total coincidence. I got my knee on his chest or throat or hand or whatever, and all of a sudden there's
somewhere from the neck.
There's a bright light on me from over the fence, and I just hear Toronto Police freeze, and I'm like, I'm dressed like the criminal, like he's dressed better. I'm on your fucking tent, and he yells again, Toronto Police freeze, and I'm like, oh man, this guy's screaming. On the ground, I can hear another guy at the front.
So you went up again, pop. Like you're like,
yeah. Shit. And then I like sort of glance up in the corner of my eye, and I can't see because it's so bright. He's just got a flashlight on me, had a gun in his hand.
Jeez.
And he yells, "Toronto Police, freeze!" One more time, and I'm like, "Jay, Trav, what the fuck are you doing, man?" And I'm like, and he goes, "Don't worry, my other guy's on his way." And then, you know, they all just. There was cops everywhere in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But they happen to be driving by and
they hear the call on the radio.
They're cruising by. No, they're just cruising by and they saw my dog and they just got the second guy on his way over the fence, pulled him down and they roughed him up pretty bad. Wow. Yeah. But I mean, They never came back.
See, when you're 19, when you're 19, you get in the club business. You never know that eventually, like, shit like this happens. You're just too, like, you know. And but you take,
young.
You kind of feel like humiliated when someone keeps stealing from you.
Right. You're like,
by the way,
joke's on me.
Yeah, I mean, like, everyone's greedy.
Yeah.
And even twice as greedy.
That's too much.
I'm like, I've been waiting with you.
Yeah. It was just too much.
I'm going to sleep. Though. You're like, oh, let's get up. Like,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Give me a second here. Let me.
Yeah, anyway, our boy A-Hall, fucking, we got a great little studio and it's been fucking clipped a couple times.
Yeah.
Fucking same shit. It's brutal.
Yeah.
Fucking eventually. I wish we could.
When are you going to stake out there for the boys, eh?
Anytime, but put a hockey helmet on, just get a fucking Louisville slugger ready to go.
Hey, speaking of hockey helmets, let's talk about our boy Loops. You know, played in Toronto for, I'll be honest, I told him this. It feels like you've kind of overstayed your welcome, eh? Maybe ask for a trade here. You had a good run, but that's neither here nor there. But talk about, I met Loops, you through Loops.
Yeah, just to me.
Loops, listen, in all honesty, Loops was a great Leaf. He did great stuff for the community with Loops Troops. People still to this day in Toronto, and when I go back home, how's Loops doing? Where's Loops? He was a great Leaf in all seriousness, but talk about just, you know, time with him.
He's loved here, but yeah. You go to a game, you see a lot of Liverpool jerseys, right? So, I mean, yeah, he was introduced to me through our mutual friends and Cody and the group. And we hit it off and got along well. And, you know, Loops, he's got like a tight circle of buddies and that's it. He doesn't really like to entertain too many new friends.
Totally.
And like, he keeps it pretty tight. And him and I were, you know, would go out a lot and spend a lot of time either at my place or until he got a warehouse to live in. And then he spent more time at his.
Is that the one with the basketball net?
Yeah. Basketball net. And it was this like amongst like semis and townhomes on a street just off Queen, like right downtown. You got this random just brick facade.
From the front, you didn't even know there was anything.
I pulled up. Hey, you know, Loops, he's not here with his phone, right? I'm like texting him, I'm like to the driver, this might have been before Ubers. I'm like, this can't be the right place. Like, I let me go.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it. Look through that wooden, like, sort of.
Through the thing.
Yeah.
Like, and then there he is, hey, there.
Hey, fuck, you're at the ball.
Oh, yeah, come on in. I'm like, this is your pad?
No, yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, I get it. Oh,
I would usually get the text.
Yeah.
You know, at 2 a.m. So, you know, what are the staff up to after the shift's done tonight? Like, so yeah, let's throw a little shaker at my place. So then we had a few parties there.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I reap the benefits of Loops playing here when I'd come home in the off season and walk around with him, and he couldn't walk anywhere on Queen or King, and it was, everyone knew him. Loops, what's up, buddy? Hey, Loops, how you doing? I mean, he was doing male modeling here, everything, right? Like, he was.
Oh, his male modeling.
He's a city.
Yeah,
we should touch on.
Yeah.
Bus stops, like hair products. Yeah. It was everywhere.
Yeah, on all the transits.
I don't think he let anyone know. Like, it was just I got a good file full of them that I got to send to the boys.
Yeah,
of just different advertisements. I'd see him.
Princey found a clip of Loops playing the guitar on like the bridge from Philly to Jersey. I'm like, Loops is like, what does he say? He's like, yeah, I kind of like dark music, but that's not my personality. I'm like, Princey, where did you find that thing? But first time I met Loops. Obviously, good-looking cat. He's our first-round pick. And I remember Nelson Gunno first rookie practice. And he comes around the little Canada Cup drill, and he takes the snapshot. And I'm like, you're eyeing guys up, right? I'm like, holy fuck, I've never seen anyone shoot a hockey puck like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then I try to talk to him. And you know right away, he won't really talk to you. I'm like, I got to get to know this guy.
Yeah, you gotta, it took a while. Yeah. There was a lot of
quiet. And then a couple things happened throughout the course of the rookie trip.
Yeah, Now, there's a lot of quiet dinners to start off where we had to, you know, you have to get to know him.
Yeah.
But I asked, Lou, he did me a favor once. I asked him to come out to my nephew's hockey practice. And it's an hour away, whatever. And I'm like, Loops, you got to do me this favor. Like, you got to come out. Like, these kids are probably 10 years old, somewhere around there, AAA team, but they're 10 years old. And Loops is like, yeah, no problem. I'm not going to tell any of the kids. So he comes, he laces them up. It's right during the season. He laces them up. He just jumps in line to do the drill. So he comes around, like, you know, goes, cuts around center, gets fed with the puck, goes down on the goal. I got the video. It's mortifying. Goes down on a 10-year-old. And doesn't even hesitate. Just right bar down hard. 10-year-old didn't even know what was on the ice. And the 10-year-old just left the net. He's like, and I'm like, Lips, he's like,
what are you always doing? I witnessed that in Aspen not 2 months ago. I was skating with Flowers and him, and the kids all started to come out. And the first kid that came out, he whipped it right off his head.
Yeah.
It was like, and then he's like, whoops. Yeah, I'm like, whoops. The kid's six.
He's a 6 year old, and then ding right on the head.
Oh, his shot.
He's like, the kid, he'll always remember that. I'm like, yeah, after
he Princey put a little thing together for him about his little breakaways in Toronto where he go to the forehand.
And, yeah, that's what he did.
And I text him, no wonder you got laid so much. I mean, the bing, 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 bing. I'm like, fuck, buddy, I get it here now.
It was unbelievable. Oh, he had no problem. After that end-to-end he did that time,
yeah,
here, he was getting laid all
the time. You know what the thing about Libs, too, is, and you mentioned about how he's a good guy to come out to your nephew's skate. His teammates love him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And there's not one guy that plays with Loops.
Yeah.
And, you know, people still come up and be like, what happened to Loops in Toronto? And I'm like, yeah, we don't need to get that. But his teammates love him, right? It was the same reason. He was the ultimate pro, man. For whatever Loops did off the ice, and we all did, Loops, I worked out with him the offseason in the gym every Monday. Sick program. Yeah. Like, so strict. So strict. Like,
he's still, still keeps in shape. He's a machine. Yeah.
His program's got a little wonky a little bit, but yeah.
He was close with Phil. That's funny.
Yeah.
Phil didn't frequent the gym too much.
No.
Phil
was my kind of pro.
Yeah.
Me and Phil have been good roommates.
He skipped the bike after.
Yeah. Travis, we're having a shaker. Well, this will come out tomorrow on Fellow Friday tonight. So I guess we'll say thank you so much for what you've done for us. It's at your place, Park, which I've been to. It's a National League establishment. This guy beside us here, Flowers, is supposed to be chipping in with some kind of guest. But thank you. We're excited for it. Thank you for everything, and we're looking to have a real nice time at your establishment.
Of course. I'm happy to have you guys excited about it. When I grew up, I built an establishment a little bit, you know, north of King Street and moved it up north with, you know, a little bit older demographic. So it's classy. It's got a cocktail bar area, and then it's got the lounge side with the DJ and the tables, and it's a great spot.
I mean,
Larry sometimes comes, and I can't get rid of him. Mr. Flowers?
I can't.
And so he's been a few times.
So this is Flowers, eh? Flowers goes to Aspen for a month. Whatever, good on him. So then I'm like, I'm going to text this guy and see if he's got a hotel room. Because I assumed he was staying with you. So I go, Flowers, where are you staying? Are you staying with Travis? No. I thought you got me a hotel room. I said, why would you think that I got you a hotel
room? I'm shocked he didn't just show up at my door.
You text me. I think you said you're going to get me a hotel room. I said, I got to go back to the archives. Because I assumed he was staying with you. Because he came in for that wedding. And he laid on your couch for 3 days, didn't he?
Then he came back the next weekend. Flew home, and he's like, you know what? I think I'm thinking of coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, once you spend a weekend at your house,
it's
tricky to go really anywhere else. And we all go to nice places. But you have a nice shack.
Yeah. We put yourself here. Listen, if anything goes down, if we can have this if you want. I'm coming to your house. If anything goes down, all right? I feel safe there. Yeah. I feel safe there.
That's years of cycling. Yeah. I had to build it safe.
Yeah. Travis, man, thank you, buddy. The boys love you here, and we appreciate it, and we're looking forward to getting after tomorrow night. Buddy.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
My man, thank you. Thank you.
Fellas, Labatt Blue USA. Lots of things are better together. Hockey and Labatt Blue. Golf and Labatt Blue. Barbecuing with an ice-cold Labatt Blue. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Welcome back to Mr. Curfew, Up Dog, Fellow Friday. We're in the Gretzky basement, and we got the fellas here, Ty and Tristan Gretzky. Thank you, boys, for the hospitality, and you guys killed it, man. Up Dog, thank you as well. This place is beautiful, fellas.
Appreciate it. Thank you guys for being here. Makes the whole experience... this is what it's about, right?
Well, yeah, we're here showcasing basically, you know, the hockey family of Canada's basement, right? Like every Canadian kid and no real American. We talked about this earlier, but in America, you don't really have like a basement that you go down to and you hunker in the winter. You have a pool table and you got all your jerseys and stuff and pictures. But you guys have brought that to, you know, the hockey fans here for All-Star Weekend by showcasing, you know, your grandfather and your dad's like earliest stuff, artifacts. Yeah. It's fucking great.
Like you said, it's a special place for every family and something my grandpa kept special his whole life and kept all the memorabilia down there, and everyone was always able to come by and see it. So
the crazy thing, like he had every single hockey player in Canada has been through his basement. Didn't matter. You knock on the door, he was giving you a tour, and the fact that he kept every single thing, and we had the opportunity to do something like this here this week to show it and showcase it, I think he would be amazed to see it. And that was our goal. So
yeah, it's cool because our relationships that we have with our dad and you have with your dad, but yeah, that's what hockey's all about. But talk about, because I know how much Walter meant to your dad, Wayne, but like how much he meant to you guys too, because the way Wayne talks about Walter and how important, it's just, it makes every kid be like, that's what it's all about. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, our grandpa, if ever anyone was lucky enough to meet him, he was the nicest human being on planet Earth. And even just the people coming through, seeing the shop this week, they've been telling us stories and showing us pictures, going into the basement, knocking on the door. And yeah, he really was the best. And my dad tries to, I think, be like him as much as he can. And he does it so well. And then we try to copy our dad.
Yeah. You know, I would say this about your dad. And, you know, I've had a great opportunity to play for him. And now more than anything, like the relationship I've got to build with him post hockey is incredible. But what I've noticed with Wayne is that, like your grandfather Walter, what he was able to do for hockey and hockey kids, you know, they always looked at him as this, you know, the great father of Wayne, right? But Wayne right now gives so much back to hockey and to the kids. And if you ever get a chance to meet Wayne, whether, you know, it's sitting at a restaurant or you catch him before he's jumping on an airplane, or he sits and talks and he listens. And then he tells stories, and he it's almost like what I'd imagine Walter was like with everyone he met, no matter if it's at a grocery store, if it's wherever, you know, you're sitting and you're like, wow, it's so personable getting to talk to him. I just met him, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. We're so fortunate to call him our dad. He's most supportive, and seeing his face the first time walking in here and seeing what we tried to create or recreate, it was pretty special to see. And that's what we were most excited about. So it was worth it. And, building this house out is something we wanted him to be a part of, right?
It's totally.
Let's talk about the swag. Ty, since I met you, you got great swag every time I see you.
Appreciate it.
Trust you. Tight too, brother.
Thank you.
Listen, the stuff you designed, listen, I designed some stuff. Updog helps me a little bit. Yeah. He's busy with two kids, but I try to design stuff. You guys got to figure it out. I mean, that jacket is the one that Walter used to wear. I mean, it's a sick Letterman jacket, whatever you want to call it. Ty, you've always got, how did it come together with the style? Did you guys work together or how did that work out?
Yeah, I mean, I think my grandpa wearing that every day, that was his signature, right? Like
Nogano one.
The Nogano.
Red one, he wore it everywhere.
Even and like the starter jacket.
Yeah, it
was so sick.
We love doing the merch stuff, but just being able to come and take something home and be like, yeah, I went to the basement. And if you didn't get a chance to see the basement, when my grandpa was showing everyone and stuff, this is maybe your chance to come see it or a piece of it, right?
Yeah.
So it's been really fun, and being able to do this with my brothers has been something really special, and we have a lot of friends in Toronto that it's been amazing. It's been the best week of our life.
Yeah, there's definitely a good little atmosphere down there. You get a little bar set up.
Yeah, the bar's a real nice touch.
Yeah, the Gretzky Estate set it up out back. It's pretty fun. That's what we wanted to create, a house, right? Like for All-Star Week, for everyone to come see it and experience it, and just what my grandpa would have wanted to do if he was here, right?
Updog, the Gretzky Estate would be a great thing for you to stay with. It's a winery with an outdoor rink. So it's great. Two things that you love. You love red wine. You love getting out of the place. So maybe next winter,
I see a little putty green out there. I don't like putting, but I have a little golf and
get them out there.
So building this out, guys, was it, you know, was there any tricky parts to it? Those TVs down there look a little old. So how do we get those fired up?
Wait, there was so many people who helped us, Josh and Jesse and Ethan and Alex and us too, and Trevor, and Boehner, like it was a huge team effort going into it.
But
it all kind of came together better than we could imagine, and hoping to maybe do it again. And give people the experience. Like Ty said, if you never
saw it, put one in to give them.
Sure. You know what the word you just used there was team. And when I started hanging out with your dad for the Updog and playing golf with him, like, all the stories that he said were all team. It was never about his individual stuff. It was all about team. And like one of my favorite things ever is the Boys on the Bus video, like that old school movie when he's like, "Cough, this team? Are you kidding me? Cough? I can't shake this guy." Like, your dad is the ultimate team guy. And to me, that's what makes hockey players different, right? Like how he's team. And that's what you guys said right away. Like, it took a team to do it.
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I feel like that's the hockey culture, right? Yeah. And I feel like all the guys embody it so well. And we try to be like our dad in that sense.
Yeah.
For sure.
Your dad's such a beauty. Like I said, I got to know him, and I played so bad. So we were there for the Stanley Cup final where we saw you. And me and Updog, we went from Vegas to Florida. And Updog's like, oh, we're playing with Gretz and Mess and Janet at 115. And it's like 100 degrees. And I'm just, I don't make a par. I don't make a par on the front nine. And I'm on nine. And I'm like, well, boys, that front nine will sum up my career. And your dad goes, you weren't that good of a
You weren't that good of a player.
He loves to give it on the course. He's a good chirper.
The best of them. But, boys, thank you so much. We don't take up too much of your time, but Ty, you know, got to know you, Tristan. Nice to know you, fellas. Keep it up. You're making your dad proud, the hockey world proud, and this is next level.
Thank you, guys. Big fans of the show, and best of luck.
We appreciate it. And then without teasing too much, will you maybe make this a traveling thing, so show people across North America what Wayne's basement's like?
I think that's the goal. I think everyone was so excited by it that we might have to do it again, and we love hearing the stories about it.
Yeah.
And coming to meet my grandpa and seeing the pictures and stuff.
Yeah, it's good, boys. You guys got a great family, and it means a lot that you guys are doing this for
you guys are the best, man.
Appreciate it, boys.
Thank you guys for having us on.
Let's have some fun.
Let's go. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Saul.
Let's get after
it. That was awesome.
Fun.
Fella, we got to talk about Jägermeister. No chirping, no running its mouth. Let's just talk about the confidence on these guys.
Our friends at Jägermeister sent us this ad read to read on the show, fella. But they're confident that they said, don't do any of that normal ad stuff. Tell the listeners two things. Jägermeister's great, and everyone's been drinking it wrong. Well, if that's the case, how the hell do you think we should be drinking it?
Updog, that's a great question. Ice cold, fella. At 0 degrees Fahrenheit, to be exact. Ice cold shots of Jägermeister. That's it, my man. That's all they want to tell you. Damn, that's cold.
Just remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Drink responsibly. Jägermeister Liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister US, White Plains, New York.